Welcome to the Women's Hope Podcast. We are back from our long hiatus, our summertime hiatus. It is now, we're heading into the fall, and this is weird because we're recording this in the spring, but we're coming to you from the past.
Ooh.
Yeah, we just perfected time travel. For those of you who are nerdy enough to get excited about that, we figured out how to do it.
You just rocked my world. I'll never be the same. That's like mathing. I know. It's too much.
Well, I am Kim Wine, and I'm joined by Kim Cummings, and I'm hoping that by this time we have tans and we can... you know, summer hair that's all nice and dry and salty.
Oh, yeah. I've already got my first beach appointment. Made it this morning.
That's awesome. I'm going to have one this weekend, so I'm excited.
Oh, you beat me.
Yeah.
It's too cold here right now.
Oh, it's definitely not too cold here. We're in the 90s already.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into, it's time to do a resource of the week. We haven't done those in a while. And this resource for this episode is the Echo Prayer app. And since this is your discovery and you're fine, Kim, I'm going to let you talk about it.
Yeah. So this was recommended to me by a guy who took a seminary class on prayer at Master's Seminary. They have a required class on prayer. And just really helping them to prepare for their ministry properly. And this was one of their recommendations. So I downloaded it. I like it. It has notifications. It has reminders. So, you know, I can set reminders during the day if I'm busy. And I can stop and just, you know, think about something specific that was requested or whatever. And I love it because I can, when our prayer requests go down from church, I can cut and paste those and I can put them in there. And so you have different things that you pray for, and then you swipe as you go, you know, as you go through, you swipe to the left, and then it takes you to the next section of prayer, so you can organize it how you like. I've enjoyed it. It's not super, you know, complicated, but it's not so, some of those that I've had that are so simple, it's like, well, I could have just used a note page.
Yeah,
this is more than that.
Okay, good.
So yeah, give it a whirl. You'll be blessed by it. It's nice to have all your prayer requests and the things that you pray for on a regular basis in one place. And what better place than the thing that we, you know, have attached to us the most, our phones, you know, so.
Yeah, I've take that it. Evil phone and use it for good, right?
Right. The phone is not evil.
That's right, because it is not, it has no soul.
Yeah, but it definitely can be a distraction. We can be distracted by it, for sure.
So that's what we're going to talk about. I got us into this, but I'm very excited to do it because I don't know about you, but I find that's an area that's weak for me is prayer. And I'll just confess that right now. We are not speaking as ones who have arrived. We are speaking as ones who are on the struggle bus with you.
Struggle bus. Yeah. Yeah. This is something that our flesh will struggle with because, in our flesh, we work independently of God.
Yeah.
And what is prayer?
Right.
It's dependence. Mm-hmm. And so we will be on that struggle bus sometimes more than others. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just taking a lot of the mysticism out of it and making it practical.
Yeah.
And two, just this is an area of dependence as well. When I am urged about something, prompted, what do I do about it?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, that's God working in my life, and we can rejoice in that. Mm-hmm. He is prompting me to take a prayer, a need, a concern for others to him. Mm-hmm. And so it's a wonderful thing.
Amen. So I thought it'd be fun to first talk about some of the, you know, the prayer requests.
Yeah. So to answer your question, it's really about the prayer requests that aren't mentioned.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that?
Well, and I don't want to be rude, But, you know, sometimes what you hear in churches is, I have an unspoken prayer request.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what's the motive of that?
Yeah. Yeah. And in a lot of cases, it's because somebody has something on their heart that is so sensitive, maybe, or concerning to them, that they feel like it can't be spoken publicly. But they want people to know that they're burdened. So they'll say they have an unspoken.
That's a good way to believe the best. I appreciate that.
Well, right. And I mean, I've been in places like that before, right? Where you've been so burdened and you need support from your brothers and sisters, but...
Yeah, bear one another's burdens.
Right. But you can't just, you know, in the group prayer meetings say exactly what that thing is. It's a little too sensitive in nature. So, I don't know that saying it's an unspoken prayer request is the best way to do that, because what it does to our human nature, the people who are hearing it, right, it causes us to try to figure out what it is. And we're never very charitable when we do that. That can often be a hard, you know, a bad thing to do that. Maybe find a couple people that you can trust and really tell them what that unspoken prayer request is. And then you won't feel the need to say it that way. But then there's also there's always physical needs brought up, right? We always talk about the surgeries and the ailments and the traveling and these things that aren't really connected to our spiritual growth, right?
They're temporal. They're not, I mean, God cares so much about us. I mean, he says it so, so beautifully in Matthew 6. Are you not worth more than two sparrows? You know, so don't many sparrows, right? He knows when two sparrows fall. So he's concerned for our well-being. But do we spend more time praying to keep, and this came from somebody else in this prayer class that I've been taking. Do we spend more time in prayer keeping people out of heaven than praying for the people who need heaven, who need Jesus?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I think we sometimes do.
Right. I agree with that. And then it's also, what would happen if someone came into your Bible study or your weekly prayer meeting and said, I'm struggling with lust this week and I really need you to pray for, I need my church family to pray for about that with me. I need prayer. What would we do? How would we respond to that? And I don't know that we should answer that question. I'm just asking it, you know?
Sure. And everybody that's listening, they're in different church settings, right? So some are going to handle it differently than others. How are we to handle it?
Right. Right. I think that too often we're not, and we've talked about this so many different times in different episodes about how the church body as a whole doesn't really know how to handle another person's sin and how to really bear that well, and how we need to do better in that area. And we're working on that, right? Mm-hmm. We get shocked by people's realness and the true sin that they struggle with. I would love to be in a circumstance where when someone, and I have been before, I've been in a place where somebody felt comfortable enough. I think that's the thing first. They need to feel comfortable that their sin is safe with that group of people, whoever they're sharing it with. Where a person feels comfortable enough to say, I'm struggling with lust. Would you pray with me about that? Mm-hmm. And know that those people are going to actually do what they said they were going to do and pray about that with them ongoing, not just at that
moment. So it's boiling down to the care for others, really. Mm-hmm. Because in what you're saying there, but also there's this element, and we're going to get to this, about our view of God. If we're more concerned about our view of God and becoming more like his son, mm-hmm. then we will be okay with these prayer requests and confessing our sin to others. And, you know, that was one of the things when my husband pastors a church, but I had to go through the new membership class. It wasn't like I got to ride in on his coattails. So one of the things that we did was write out our testimonies. And I said, I'm grateful to belong to a church where I can confess my sins and grow in the likeness of Christ. And so by doing that and sharing that, I'm saying this is a responsibility as a believer to do this. We are to mm-hmm. confess our sins to another. And Amen. So, we need to maybe be the pioneer. Mm-hmm. And we need to be careful not to look for the results that we expect. Mm-hmm. So
good. That's good. That's very wise counsel.
Because if we're looking for a certain response, then our prayer has really just become more man-centered than trusting the one who we pray to. So just mm-hmm. be careful, you know, kind of check your heart on that and know that by being sincere and confessing a sin to someone doesn't mean they're going to necessarily respond the way you think they should. But if you feel that you understand how you are to respond, you be that pioneer in responding biblically. And when I say that, what that means is, like you said earlier, follow up. Hey, mm-hmm. I prayed for you today. How's it going? How can I come alongside you? So that's what we're going to get into and lead to here in just a minute on really who's being changed by prayer.
Right. So let's go to the best passage to at least start a conversation on prayer, I think, and that is the Lord's Prayer. Let me read it from Matthew. I chose to do it from Matthew. You can find it in Luke as well. All right, Matthew 6, 9 through 13, and this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5 through 7. So this is part of this big, long sermon that Jesus gave that is so practical and so applicable for the believer's life. He says, his disciples had asked him how to pray. And he says, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we're going to kind of just talk about each one of those phrases today and what they mean in our prayers. So the first one is our Father. Let's just start with that. That's mm-hmm. talking about who God is.
Yeah. So our Father, and we see in other places in scripture that he's called we see in Romans 8, who we cry to Abba, Daddy. Mm-hmm. So that would be who he is. And so you see an intimacy there as a child with a father that is being established. But also the one who's in authority.
Yeah. And we'll get to that in mm-hmm. a second. Because there's more of the authority part of it, I think, even in the ending of it. It's mm-hmm. it's nice how he bookends it with, it's not just nice, it's intentional how it's bookended with God's authority and who God is, his character.
His character. Right. So then, absolutely.
Because praying to anyone else doesn't do you any good, right? You have to know who you're praying to. You have to know him intimately in order to be able to pray to him in the first place. And then by being his child. And so prayers to any other God, little g, are not effective prayers. That's why it's so important to know who you're praying to.
Absolutely.
The, the next thing is, so it's our Father who is in heaven. All right. So that's about where God is. Why is that important?
Well, again, it establishes his authority. We see in Isaiah 55, his ways are higher than our ways. He is higher than us. So our Father who is in heaven, that establishes his authority. And so we're acknowledging, like we said earlier when we were talking about our dependence, we know God is the one who is in control. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. So that means he is also the one who is conforming us into his image. So he is higher.
Yeah. And then coupled with this phrase, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. So what does it mean to be hallowed?
Well, it's a respect.
Mm-hmm.
First of all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're putting him, again, it's about his place, his authority, him mm-hmm. being higher than you. Mm-hmm. Hallowed be your name. You, it's a term of authority.
Well, and his name represents his character, his attributes, his nature. So again, we're starting out focusing on God. And the magnificence right. of God.
Right. Okay, so the next phrase is, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. This is talking about what God's plan is, what his intentions are. We're focusing on his kingdom, his will on earth and in heaven. Instead of, have you noticed that there hasn't been anything about myself yet?
Right. Yeah. I've noticed. Yeah.
And that's important because we got mm-hmm. to get in a place when we pray, we are humbling ourselves. We are recognizing our dependency in order to recognize our dependency on God. And that goes into the next phrase, the dependency does. In order to recognize our dependency on him, we have to place ourselves in the proper order. And it's him mm-hmm. first and him higher and then us.
Mm-hmm. So the next thing we see is give us this day our daily bread. So like you just said, it's revealing our dependence. And notice that I always laugh because I'm a stalker. So I'm a Costco. I mean, I've got Costco and Sam's membership. So, and I'm straying a little bit here, but you know, but here we see the dependence of what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. And why was mm-hmm. that? Because if we're stocked up, right? There's this level of self-sufficiency.
Right.
But when I am reminded of what, and it's not just that, it's what I need. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. I don't need tomorrow's bread. You know, tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. So this is just what I need today. And what do we do in our thinking? And this is not, and it goes back to our motives, but I mean, we're all over the place. You know, we're in fear mm-hmm. about what might happen, what could be.
Right.
Instead of today, this day, I'm asking for your provision for this day. So that means I focus on this day.
Right.
Because he already knows what I need for this day. He knew before the foundation of the earth. So then I am positioning myself to trust him for this day.
And if you go further in chapter 6, you know, you see the whole passage about worry and about, you mm-hmm. know, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Focus on today. It also makes me think of the Israelites in the wilderness, right? They were given enough manna for the day. They were instructed to just gather up what they needed for that day, or it would rot.
And what happened if they got too much?
Yeah, it would rot. It wouldn't be useful for them. It was useless, and they ended up with rotted manna. So yeah. They only were supposed to get exactly what they were told to get that day. And then another thing about the bread is, when I think of the bread of life, I think of Jesus, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. He is our sustenance. And then I also think of the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word. And so it is a gift from God to you to give you the Word of God to study and to know each day, because that's how you know who he is. It's not your gift to him.
Mm-hmm. So the sustenance, ultimately, again, we're going back to God.
Right. Spiritual food, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the needs for the day. So then would be more spiritual than physical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because he says to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, mm-hmm. and all these things, all that physical need that you need, it's going to be added to you.
Added. And he says what those things are, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you wear. Yeah. What you wear, what you eat. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So his will, his kingdom first.
Mm-hmm. And then we get to repentance. The first part of this phrase is, and forgive us our debts. All right, we'll just talk about that by itself. We must approach every prayer in a repentant posture. Mm-hmm. It's more than just going through your laundry list of sins and confessing them by mouth and not really having that repentant posture.
Mm-hmm.
It's forgive me my great sin. I recognize my total depravity. I recognize that I have nothing to offer you but my sin, and you have given me your grace and your righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what I think one of the greatest examples of that is in Psalm 139, when you have all of this about who God is. His omniscience, his omnipresence, and, you know, as a creator, all of these things. And at the very end of that, he says, show me if there is any hurtful way in me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to be sensitive to that. Is there any right. way that is wrong, any way that is hurtful, so that I can repent, so I can change? That is a gift. If we ask him, show us, he is gifting that ability to repent. It's a beautiful thing. We look at repentance as a horrible work, you know, and is there work involved? Yeah, there is. Change takes work. But God has gifted us the ability to repent.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then the second half of that phrase is, as we forgive those. Hold on. I'm trying to quote it in several different translations at one
yeah,
time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
As we also have forgiven our debtors. I was going back to my King James roots and trying to quote the King James, which wouldn't have been bad, but I was getting confused in my own brain because I have so many translations in there. So then we're not just to ask for forgiveness, but we're supposed to forgive others as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and then again, if we're asking God to show any hurtful way, you know, in us, if we have any unforgiveness in our heart, it'll turn into bitterness. It'll reveal anger. So we want to keep our accounts short. And mm-hmm. so we want to be forgiving of others. And when we do that, we're displaying the character of God, and we are displaying the gospel, because we have a Savior who has forgiven us of much. And so then we need to be like him in the way we forgive.
Right. All right. So the next phrase, lead us not into temptation. And I did quote that in the King James. You'll have to forgive me. That shows our weakness. That shows that we understand our weaknesses, right? It is so easy to be tempted. We are tempted constantly, and it's so easy to give in to that temptation. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking the Lord to help us resist temptation there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's dependency. You see dependency on God and not ourselves all through this prayer. And it should be all through every prayer that we pray. That's mm-hmm. the point.
Well, and we see that he's given us the way of escape, right? Mm-hmm. That when we are tempted, we have been given the way of escape. And really, the fleeing from evil, to know what evil is to begin with, we need to be dependent on God and his word and his mm-hmm. spirit showing us what is wrong and what is right through his word. So we need to be mindful of that. And again, it goes back to the Psalm 139 of, you know, show any hurtful way that is within me. You know, a temptation is going to be something hurtful to me first and then others as the consequences come out of that sin. So, you know, as the great theologian Barney Fife said, we nip that in the bud through prayer.
Nip it.
Nip it in the bud, Andy. So anyway, yeah. So we're asking, you know, the Lord again in dependence that we would, yes. that we would flee temptation and that we would not be tempted by evil.
Well, and then the next phrase is, but deliver us from evil. So it's, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And again, that shows our dependence. It shows God's power. God mm-hmm. is the one who has the power to deliver us from sin and to save us from the sin. And we must be dependent on him in order to resist temptation and to not sin. We have the power within the Holy Spirit. He has given us the power to resist sin, but it's his power, not ours.
Well, and again, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. And so we see that this is his power, right? So we have mm-hmm. been bought with a price. We have been saved by his power. And so it is the very same power. So we have already been delivered mm-hmm. from evil. We have been yes. saved. So you mm-hmm. see this beautiful work of salvation in this one little phrase of his power yeah. as we are delivered from evil. But then he continues what he has already begun in our sanctification by continuing to work in us and make us more like his son.
Amen. And then the phrase that totally seals God's authority, his eternality, and his dominion. It's for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see all of those in there. Dominion, authority, eternality. It's all his. It started as his. It's still his. It's going to be his.
Forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I love this. All I can hear right now is I'm having a little bit of a brain fluff because this was sung at my wedding. By my uncle. I don't know if anybody else had this sung at their wedding, but I have an uncle who has just a phenomenal, beautiful voice. And he sang this at our wedding. And so I can just hear him belting out, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But anyway, Yeah, so it's just a beautiful reminder as I'm sitting here reflecting on that of, again, who God is, and he is in control, and we are acknowledging that God is in control and we are not.
Mm-hmm. So here's the question. Does prayer change things? We hear that phrase. I have a sign in my living room that says prayer changes things. It does change things, right? But it doesn't change God.
And he's the immovable mover.
Ooh, I like that.
An old dead guy said that, and I heard it. I was listening to Drive-By Theology, and I can't remember who said it. I can't remember if it was Watson or Charnock. I can't remember. Anyway, but he is the unmovable mover, and it stuck with me because I'm speaking on the providence of God this weekend. But I love that because he doesn't change. He is immutable. He does not change. But what is he changing? Who is he changing?
Us. He's changing us. And that's what prayer changes. And we'll talk about it a little bit more in our next episode. But I think, don't you have a couple verses on that for now?
Well, yes, I do. And here's the beautiful thing that I love. You know, we talked about how we pray so much for the physical, and we pray more for keeping people out of heaven than assuring us into heaven, more in the image of Christ. And I think that Paul's examples of prayer are the best. And
yes,
so
I
just wanted, yeah. I mean, and what I love about it is that he is writing down this prayer. They are being told what they are being prayed for. This is not an unspoken prayer request. He is laying it on the line for all of the world, for all of generations, because God's word is eternal to see. And this is what he prays in Philippians. He says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." That, I mean, right there, that is us being changed. And I love Paul's plan of change here. He knows God is the changer, but then who's also responsible for change? We are, right? So he gives this little exhortation prayer, is what I call them. They shoot two ways, right? They shoot to God, but then to the person he's praying for. And so it's like this instant accountability to say, these are the expectations that I have of what God is capable of doing in your life, to the praise and the glory of God. Who is it for? And so it's
glory.
Changing us. We're the ones being changed. And look at it. It's spiritual. It says, "In this I pray that your love may abound still more." This is the golden rule, right? You know, that we love more and more each day, like God loves us. And then it says, in real knowledge and discernment, the more I know about God, the more I will be changed.
Amen.
And then it says, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. So this is our sanctification. This is us growing more like Christ. We are being sanctified. As these things come around in life, just the normal day to day, you know, we are approving the things that are excellent. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2, is it not? Approving the things that are good and acceptable and perfect. as we are living sacrifices. And then being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ. We did a whole series on the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So there you see what is coming out of the work of Jesus Christ in us through the Holy Spirit and God getting the glory. Amen. I didn't hear anything about my trip to San Diego. But is that wrong to pray for?
No.
But what is the greater emphasis?
Right.
Our spiritual hearts. Our change.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Becoming more like Christ. Yeah.
Yeah. You also didn't hear anything about Tom's uncle's sister's cousin's bunion either.
The organ recital. That's what they always called it in Meade, Kansas. They would say so often our prayer sounds hilarious. Like an organ recital. My kidneys, my liver, all of that.
That's and those things, great.
Hey, but you know what? Those things, God cares about those things. Please don't think we're mocking his care in any way, shape, or form. He cares about us so much more than we can even fathom.
Right.
He cares for us so much and so intimately, it's though as he has no one else to care for.
Yeah.
Augustine said. But when those kidney problems come, when those liver problems come, it's going to be the spiritual things. They're going to affect how I respond to those physical things.
Right. Right. Exactly. And I think that our prayer requests, the things that we utter out loud, are a reflection of the worries in our hearts, the things that we are focused on. And so if that's what's coming out, that's what we're dwelling on. Mm-hmm. And if we're dwelling more on the spiritual things, I don't think that the worries and the over concerns about our physical things would be so great. We would be more settled and more prayerful and looking to see how God is going to change us in the midst of our physical ailments.
Right. So there's an element of gratitude there. And we are told that we are to cast our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. And so by doing that, we are giving them to us. And what was it? Was it Corrie ten Boom that said that we cast them in the Lord to the Lord and then we don't take them back?
You know? Right. Well, and she said something specific about
no fishing.
The no fishing sign. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. That was to Corrie ten Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. So good reminders. I needed to teach myself this today.
Me too. Well, thank you so much for listening to us. You can find more episodes and other resources and articles and groovy stuff at our website at womenshopeproject.com. Yes, I use the word groovy.
You're too young for the word groovy. Just...
No, or maybe I'm just old enough for it. We also would like to thank our sponsor, our longtime sponsor, glorybooks.org, for sponsoring the podcast each week. We're so grateful for the ministry of Dr. Greg Harris. Check his ministry out as well. You can find us on all the Twitters at Women's Hope Project, unless you're actually on Twitter, and then you need to look at Women's Hope Proj. Just leave off the ECT. Our most important message for you every time you listen is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If this is something that's unfamiliar to you, we invite you to go to our good news page at womenshopeproject.com/good news, and you will see the greatest news you have ever heard. If you go there, please drop us a line at podcast@womenshopeproject.com and tell us what you thought and ask us any questions that you have. And we would love to share with you how the good news of Jesus Christ has changed our lives and how it can change yours as well. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again next week. Enjoy your coffee.